The Israel Report with Rolien Marx.
Good afternoon, Rolien Marx. Have you voted?
Hell yes, I voted.
Yeah, for the
good afternoon, Simon Senna and the team and all you listeners. But yes, I have voted. Got my vote on relatively early this morning, realizing and understanding just how important this election is.
So that's really fascinating, because some of the initial reports that are coming out right now are saying the percentage of voters is lower than it's been since 2009, or people just absolutely fatigued.
I think it's a combination of that, and people are really taking their time to decide who to vote for. And, you know, I really hope that this is the election that sticks, whoever may be the winner in the end, because we really cannot afford to go to the polls every couple of months. We need stability. And hopefully, you know, most people say third time lucky. We say third time ice cream. Fourth time I can tell you a good bottle of wine. That's how it works in my house.
Wow, it's just such a bizarre situation. 2 years, no budget. Threats from the north, threats from the south. The Iranian threat and Israel still deciding what government it should have.
Well, you know, there's that old adage, that old joke when Kissinger met the Prime Minister of Israel, and the Prime Minister of Israel said to him, "You are the foreign secretary of 100 million Americans," and he said, "And I am the prime minister of 8 million prime ministers."
Yeah.
So, you know, that's Israel in a nutshell. And I'm paraphrasing there, and apologies for getting the joke wrong, but I've never been known to crack a punchline.
Tell us about the experience today. What's going on? What's the newspaper saying? Give us a feel of the election.
Well, it's a largely more subdued election than we have had in previous years. I think mostly because it's the fourth time.
Sure.
And, you know, just how much can you hype up an election? Also, it comes at the back of the COVID-19 pandemic, and that's really where people's heads have been at, getting through this pandemic, getting through the day, and also now as we are opening up how to support our businesses, you know, who has survived this, how we get back to, you know, the post-lockdowns, post-vaccine normal that we're going to have to get used to. But having said that, you know, electing a working government is still very much a priority. It is something that we need to do. A little bit of an emotional moment today, seeing our president, Ruvi Rivlin, voting for his last time as president. He will step down from that role on the 9th of July, and the Knesset will elect a new president. We don't know who's in the running for that yet. But he has served us magnificently, and he imploring Israelis this morning as he went out bright and early, saying this is a vote for your children, for your grandchildren, for democracy. You know, the one thing about Israel, even though we do seem to love democracy so much, we do it twice a year, there is the sense of pride that we get to do this, that we get to vote, that we get to make a decision about our sovereignty, about our future, about our country. I've just got a stat coming in now. As of 4 o'clock, we're at 42% of the registered voters. Last election, this time, it was 47% had cast their votes by now, but we're on 42%, which is slightly down from the last time. But I think we might see a last-minute rush of people getting to the polls. I think people are really, really taking their time. I know I did it myself, to think about what we want to represent us, to think about how we view democracy, you know, to vote morally for this country, for something that is stable, And that we don't have to do this again in another couple of months. So I don't think it's necessarily apathy. I think people just want to be very, very, very sure about how they're voting now.
Rolien, I had the absolute pleasure of being part of a Zionist Fed do on Sunday, where I spoke to Michal Kotler-Wunsch, a member of Knesset. And she said something pretty remarkable, because those of us in the diaspora look at your Israeli politics and we see a little country that appears to time and again pull itself apart. And she said, no. No, 80% of Israelis agree on 80% of the issues. This is a society where there is consensus on future and values. And I just thought it'd be interesting to get your comment on that.
Well, I don't disagree with her. And I think this is where we see a lot of the chasm between Israel and the diaspora Jewry evidence itself. You know, one thing I do love about this country is we are a robust democracy. We can argue, we can disagree with each other. We don't have the cancel culture phenomenon here, and we've gone up a rank in the happiest people. You know, just saying, maybe it's because, you know, we get it all out of our system and we respect each other enough to wholeheartedly disagree. When it comes to issues, and especially elections, all the parties pretty much stand for the same things that are of importance to us, where we are with regards to peace, where we are with regards to security. Where the disparity comes in is more localized issues, issues about character, issues about budget, issues about, you know, small things that impact on Israelis day-to-day lives. But for the most part, we all agree on the big issues that are important to us.
Amazing, amazing to hear that. Let's talk normalization. And sorry, I've got a lot of questions today, but Bibi Netanyahu was talking about a $10 billion investment potentially from the UAE. Was that for real or was that electioneering?
That was for real, for real. And ask away. Hey, I mean, bring your questions. This is what I'm here for. Put me in the hot seat, Sam, and I count on
you.
Well,
there you go. What's happening with the 10 billion? Is it for real?
It is for real. Wow. It is for real. You know, we've had an incredible boost of investment, and I'm sure likewise Israelis will be investing where we can in Gulf states. And this is what the fruits of peace and normalization look like. I know that there are some listening who subscribe to that very archaic anti-normalization, anti-peace, anti-recognition tactic. But, you know, what does it get you? It just gets you more division and strife. Looking at what has happened since we've signed those normalization treaties just several months ago, look at the massive investment, the memorandums of understanding. We've heard the murmurings that we could even have a railway line from Haifa to the UAE being built. This is being discussed. For once, I can boast about an Israeli sports score. We beat the UAE 33-0 in rugby. Who'd have thunk it, guys? But hey, this is what happens when peace takes wing, even your rugby team manages to win a match. I mean, you know, I don't know much about rugby, but I take it that that's very, very good. That was in a friendly that we played a couple of days ago. We've had the incredible day-by-day updates that we've got investment now in green tech and the environment, because it's an area where Israel leads. I have to say, even myself, I'm feeling it on a daily basis now, starting to deal quite a lot with Emiratis, who really do business at a very, very, very high level, very high standard. And all I can say that it's very, very good for this country and for the region.
We can't talk this and then not talk about the Saudis, because there seems to be all sorts of murmurings about what may or may not happen. What's the real story?
Well, we had in the run-up to these elections the Prime Minister saying that at least four more countries are going to normalize ties with the state of Israel. And, of course, we're all looking at the Saudis. The Saudis we're looking at as the big whale. However, they've said that they are not going to normalize with us until there is a Palestinian state. And, you know, that's really throwing out the gauntlet. Having said that, that's the reigning Saudi monarch. This could be different with the crown prince, who is a little bit more or a lot more of a modernizer, sees things differently to the king. So this is where the official position is at the moment. It doesn't mean that we're not talking to the Saudis. There are rumors that the prime minister could be visiting soon to speak to Saudi leadership there. So we definitely, even just that is a departure from where we were a year ago.
Rolene, we're out of time. I can't say I'm surprised. On election day, I kind of expected that. Thank you as always. And yeah, I hope the Israelis get out and vote.
I hope so too. But, you know, we are being very, very careful this time. And just to let listeners know, we don't expect results as timelessly as we've had in the past. There will be slight delays because of the pandemic. So we will bring you those updates as soon as we have them.
Thank you as always, Rolene Marks.
My pleasure. Same time, same place tomorrow.
You got a date.